Our next speaker is Will Preston, a music major from Williamsburg, Virginia. Will.
We live in a world of locks. We lock our houses, our cars, our email, our bank accounts. Here on campus, we lock our classrooms, our offices, our filing cabinets. The student government offices have number pads on their doors. The dorms are protected by card swipes and ear-splitting alarms. Even the bone is closed off to those without a meal plan or money to pay for dinner. I'm not trying to paint the beautiful Lewis and Clark campus as a place in a state of total lockdown, kept under the perpetual watchful eye of RAs and campus safety like Orwellian Big Brothers. But navigating the campus is not unlike navigating the real world. Simply put, the more keys on your keychain, or the more passwords at your arsenal, then the more locks you are able to pull open. Locks, of course, that are only partially literal. We must unlock the maze that is Copeland, whose countless hallways twist and turn more than the plot of a good mystery story. We must unlock our ability to shut off Netflix and actually write that 10-page paper due the next morning. We must unlock our capacity to truly think, in class, during dinner, over the New York Times crossword. Over the past 4 years, we've gradually added more and more keys to our mental keychain, and places, things, people that were previously inaccessible have opened to us. Now, a school that during our first weeks and months seemed impossibly foreign has become as intimate as a home. Since sophomore year, I've carried a key of my own, a richly copper master key to Evans Music Building. I'd come to school with the intention of being a music major, and I took classes and lessons all through my freshman year, but Evans still felt separate from the rest of my life. I knew only the teachers I had classes with and spent no more time in the building than necessary. That changed in my second year, when financial aid finally saw fit to bestow me with work study, and I was able to start work as a stage manager for the music department. That was a nice gig. There were the occasional moments that made me want to pull my hair out. I remember one concert where, to fulfill a request for colored lights, I had to scale a 30-foot ladder backstage, hang on by the crook of my elbow while I wrestled the lock for the cat door open, hoist myself over a half foot of dead air, and then, working entirely by feel, drop the colored gels into the burning spotlights. Such hassle was a rare occurrence, though. Mostly the job involved wheeling the Steinway grand piano across the stage and moving some chairs and stands before retiring backstage and listening to the concert unfold. More came with that key than the ability to unlock the auditorium and make a few dollars here and there, however. Gradually, I became thoroughly acquainted with Evans Music Building, what rooms were where, which classes were when. I came to know all the faculty by sight and eventually by name. The music department was no longer separate from my life. It had become an integral part of it. There were days, many days, when I spent more time there than I did at my own house. That key unlocked Evans for me, but in a completely different way than I was expecting. Now, like I said, the key is, of course, a metaphor. It would defeat the point if everyone was running around with a master key to the building of their choice in their pocket. But much like Lewis and Clark, there are many locks in the world, and only some of them are literal. Finding a job, finding a lover, finding a life that we're happy with. All these are things that are sealed away from reach until we figure out just the way to wrestle them open. And if these past 4 years have not been steadily preparing us for our ejection into the big square world, then I don't know what we've been doing. So just what keys have we been granted? There are the obvious ones. For many, there are the first real jobs, editing the school newspaper, keeping the shelves of the bookstore fully stocked, mowing the lawns or repainting the walls. All snatches of the responsibilities that will be expected of us sooner rather than later. For those of us who lived off campus, there are suddenly houses to find, rent to pay, bills to keep track of, classes to wake up for in the morning, homework to get done. There's been no one to hold our hand, and yet there has been something of a safety net. There's been room for error. Yet those are keys one can acquire anywhere, at schools terrific and lousy alike. And if those were the only things we walked away with after these 4 years, I'd say we need our money back. But those are far, far from the only things that we've acquired. We've been granted access to a staggering collection of faculty, professors who, in just the time that we've been here, have been the recipients of the National Professor of the Year Award, the Oregon Professor of the Year Award, a Literature Fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts, and a Graves Award, and those are only the ones who have been formally recognized. Any school can have a star-studded cast of faculty, but the teachers at Lewis and Clark are something special. They have not only a love for teaching, but also a passionate willingness to work with their students intimately, to establish a personal bond between them and us. One of my good friends who was recently accepted in the graduate school confessed before visiting that school how nervous he was about meeting the professors there. "What if I goof up and call them by their first name?" he fret. "That kind of faux pas." I've never had to worry about such a problem with my teachers here. I've reached the point where I even consider several of them to be friends, people who I am sure that I could call upon for guidance and assistance years into the future. I remember vividly at Isaac Clark's memorial service how one of his professors choked up while giving remarks. He said, "I was looking forward to knowing Isaac for the rest of my life." What a school we have where a professor can share such a relationship with a student. I never really knew Isaac. I only had one class with him that I can remember, and we couldn't have shared more than passing small talk. But listening to the recollections of those who were close to him, one theme kept recurring: how much he loved to just think, to explore concepts and work through problems for, it seemed, the sheer joy of it. And it is in that passion that I see the other, perhaps far greater key that the past four years have given us, the ability to use our heads. It sounds like a cliche, something you'd read in the admissions brochure here on a campus tour: learning doesn't stop in the classroom. But it's true. When I think of the most memorable discussions or debates I've had here at Lewis and Clark, maybe only a handful took place in class. I remember the first week of freshman year, when the air was warm and our windows were open, and I could hear every word of a, shall I say, spirited political debate unfolding in the next dorm room over. I've had conversations over my kitchen table applying complicated music theory techniques to modern rock bands, and I've argued over the quality of a stage play while walking the slushy streets of London. We simply aren't the type of people who walk out of Miller or Howard and flick the off switch in our brains. We've lived in a community that thrives on ideas, and it doesn't stop there. Whether it's sitting on search committees, or offering suggestions for the designs of a new dorm building, or volunteering for arts organizations or women's abuse hotlines downtown, we take those ideas and we do something with them, unafraid of what deep waters we may be plunging into, unafraid of what unknown creatures we will find ourselves swimming with. Unafraid, yes, but maybe a little curious. So here we are at the tail end of an incessantly busy 4 years, which nevertheless have gone by like calendar pages in an old movie. Some of us are relieved, some of us are nostalgic. I'm sure all of us are at least a little terrified. But we've made it this far, through the best of times and the worst of times, as the saying goes. And I'd say we are ready for whatever is waiting for us out there beyond Palatine Hill, locked though it may be. Congratulations, class of 2012. It's a beautiful day. Our keychain is full and jangling. Thank you.